The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
And welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with Timeless Episode 5. And I just have one thing to say. My ship. I'm getting the thing. I'm super happy. I mean, it's terribly tragic, of course, with Wyatt and Lucy, but my ship.
Spoiler alert. By the end of this podcast, she will be inferring a lot of things off of 5 seconds of television. You're welcome.
Because that's what I do.
Because that's what she do.
So, anyway, this episode opens with, well, Lucy pretty much on her sickbed. She's gotten an infection from the wound that she received way back in the Pilgrim days, and she was running a fever of 105.
I mean, that's a very long time to have an infection. I mean, the Pilgrim days till now, I mean, that's a long time.
Well, they were kind of implying it with, you know, basically she gets cut and there's all sorts of lovely germs from that time period that she brought forward with her in that cut. So basically gets infected, she gets sick, and they're tending to her. And while they're tending to her, Wyatt, Rufus, and Garcia all go on a little time adventure together. So it's just Lucy, Agent Christopher, and Gia, with Connor, you know, popping in every once in a while. So Gia's tending to Lucy, and she's like, so, hey, yeah, you and Wyatt, that was a thing. And Lucy's like, yeah, I didn't know he was still married. And Gia's like, I'm not judging. So not judging. It happens.
This right here is a judgment-free zone.
She's silently judging.
Like everyone does of other people.
So Lucy's like, yeah, so I'm going to get up and I'm going to get myself some tea. And Gia's like, yeah, you know, maybe that's not a good idea, but okay, yeah, I'm not going to stop you kind of thing. So Lucy gets up, she wanders into the kitchen, and there's Mrs. Wyatt Jessica.
She's here.
In the kitchen, she's conveniently making tea.
How about that?
And then she's like, you know, she sits down, and the two girls kind of have a heart-to-heart about Wyatt.
Her quote was, I'm a bartender. I'm used to serving people. So sit down. I'll make you a glass of tea.
She's like, I've seen that face before. Just sit down.
I got this. I know how to do this. I'll make you a cup of tea.
So yeah. So they sit down. They have some heart-to-heart. Basically, you know, Jessica asked Lucy about where she comes from and that kind of thing. And Lucy was like, you know, yeah, I'm a historian, but I was a teacher before all this started. And Jessica's like, hey, cool. And their little heart-to-heart chat gets interrupted by the time machine coming back. So they all get up and they go see the time machine. And, well, there's a bit of a hiccup on this mission.
Rut-row.
But before we get to the hiccup, we're going to go back in time to 1934 in Connecticut to this lovely, charming boarding school where a certain young JFK, aka John F. Kennedy, if you don't know who that is, which if you don't know who that is,
Google it.
Thanks. It's kind of important.
A little bit. Very historical figure in our time period.
Very important figure in our time period. Anyway, a young JFK is attending this school, and he gets basically called into his English teacher's office to have get a scolding from his English teacher because he was causing a little bit of a ruckus the night before in the dorms. He was seeing a girl he wasn't supposed to see, which, you know, is very JFK-esque. And so he goes into the teacher's office and they're starting to talk and the teacher's like, yeah, shut the door. So JFK shuts the door, guy opens the drawer, and hey, look, there's a big gun in the drawer. So the English professor, teacher, guy, whoever, is a sleeper agent for Rittenhouse. Great. And he's got a young JFK in his office. Double great. So this is about the time that, you know, the guy takes out the gun and Garcia Flynn comes in, guns blazing.
He had a gun. He didn't have to search for the gun. He had a gun.
Well, we don't know if he had to search for it, but he did have a gun.
He came guns blazing.
I think they let him take one back this time because it's like, yeah, okay, we're not doing that again.
Because how annoying was he? I just need a gun. I need a gun. So like,
you know, I thought it was funny.
No, it was funny, honestly. But no, for them, it's, I just need a gun. I need a gun. So it's probably really annoying. So here, just take a gun. Use it.
Well, they had Wyatt with them this time. So worst case, if anything goes wrong, they have Wyatt. He can take out Garcia, you know?
Yes.
So, Fast forward to the future. It's 2018. The time machine comes back. Wyatt gets off. Rufus gets off. And they're like, we had a bit of a problem. You know, the sleeper agents chased us all the way up to the lifeboat. And, well, we just had to do what we had to do. And they're like, well, what did you have to do? And then I think it was Lucy's like, well, it was either Lucy or Garcia who's like, or not Garcia, Agent Christopher who's like, where's Garcia Flint?
Well, you see, what had happened was...
Funny thing happened there. We had to leave him in 1934. And everybody's like, what?
It's like, wait, what? You left him where?
You did what? We're gonna go back for him.
Eventually,
maybe.
Maybe, eventually. We'll get him.
We're gonna pick him back up, but we had to deal with the present situation, and they pretty much show the present situation, which is that they brought a young JFK from 1934 to 2018, and Lucy about loses it just right there. She's like, you did not do what I think you did. And they're like, maybe.
We had no other choice. It was the thing that had to be done. It just don't judge. We had to do it.
And basically, you know, when they get off the time machine, they're like, we are never going without Lucy ever again because we couldn't figure this crap out on our own. It took us 3 days. She goes with us next time. End of discussion.
End of discussion. For now.
For now.
We'll get to that.
So they set young JFK up in a room on his own where they can lock him in. And he wakes up and he freaks out because, of course, you know, he's with strange people. He's in a strange place. And he had gotten knocked unconscious. And that's why they brought him forward. It's because they couldn't leave him there because they didn't want him to get killed. So they brought him to 2018 to keep him safe until they could deal with Rittenhouse. Well, he wakes up. He freaks out. Because, of course, you do. I mean, you know, one minute you're at your boarding school in Connecticut. And the next thing you're in, like, this dilapidated bunker with all these strange people looking at you, and it's like, the heck is going on? So he kind of freaks out, but they're like, oh yeah, we were sent by your father, and we just got off the phone with him, and we were told to keep you safe, so, you know, you just chill here, and it'll be fine, and we'll go from there. So he's like, yeah, okay, all right, and he's like, kind of like playing along, and they lock him in the room. And then everybody goes about their business, where it's basically, okay, well, we have to figure out what to do. We have to figure out how to get him back, how to deal with all this stuff, and, you know, of course, get Garcia Flynn back, because you've left him in 1934. Not that he couldn't survive in 1934. He seems like a very enterprising individual. He could probably be okay, but I think he would prefer not to be.
He would prefer to be, you know, in present-day mode.
Because he has to be with the love of his life.
His work. His work. The love of his life. His work.
His work. Yes, his work.
I don't know what else you could be referring to other than... Oh, wait. No, wait. Continue.
We'll get there. So, anyway, we then cut to... I want to say it was Agent Christopher and Lucy in the kitchen.
With the candlestick. And wait, wrong thing. All right. Yeah. You're good.
Wrong thing. So, Lucy's in the kitchen. She's making JFK a sandwich because she figured he might be hungry. And Agent Christopher's like, yeah, so, we should probably talk about what happened in the Pilgrim days. And she's like, Lucy's like, no, don't want to discuss it. No. And she's like, well, you know, your mom tried to have you killed. And Lucy's like, yeah, I know. I'm good. I don't want to talk about it. Thanks. I'm going to take the sandwich to the future president now. And she sort of wanders off and, you know, walks into the room, and then that's when she discovers, oh snap, JFK is gone.
To go back, she probably was thinking, well, she's going to bring up the Wyatt thing. I don't want to talk about the Wyatt thing. Please leave the Wyatt thing alone. Please, please, please. Oh my God, please just don't bring it up.
Because, you know, of course, now everybody knows. You know that's how all that works. Everybody knows.
Yeah, so they're trapped in a dilapidated building. You know, I mean, what else can they do?
You got to talk about things eventually. So, yeah, Lucy's like, oh, crap, he's gone. And, you know, young JFK, he's a skinny little thing. He's able to crawl his way out through an air conditioning vent, and now he's on the loose, on his own, in 2018, which is a great change of events from them going back in time. And they kind of reference that through this whole episode, where it's like normally they don't have things like cell phones and other technology to find this stuff. So it's like, they're not used to depending on it. So it's like, well, what do we do? How do we find him? Da 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 da. And then it's like, oh, wait, we have technology. Duh. We can just, you know, track him. So anyways, we all huddle in JFK's room where they formulate the plan of how we're going to find him. And Jessica offers to go with Wyatt because Lucy's still recovering. Because
they believe he needs an extra set of eyes, so.
Yeah, because they believe he needs an extra set of eyes. And then Lucy's like, yeah, no, I think I'm going to go with you. Extra set of eyes and everything. And everybody just kind of looking at her like, yeah, okay.
Commence. Right. Awkward situation. Right here.
The whole episode was just awkward. So JFK's first stop in his tour of 2018 is he turns up at this gas station that's relatively close by, and he wanders in the gas station, and he's, like, you know, amazed by all the digital dials and the lights and the doors and, like, you know, all this stuff where he's like, what is all this? None of this is familiar to him. And he sees a magazine, and he's like, and the clerk is like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, do you know where a payphone is? And the clerk's like, payphone? Who uses payphones anymore? And he's like, well, I need to call my father. And so the clerk's like, oh, you know, here, you can use my phone. And he hands a young JFK an iPhone. And he's like, what is this? I don't know what this is. I don't know how to use this. Yeah, so the clerk's like, okay.
Hold on. So going back to the payphone thing, he said maybe one's in like a museum or something.
Right? And that is the moment you feel decrepitly old. Because you're like, oh, God, I remember using payphones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's true. You don't see them on the streets much anymore. Because, yeah, they've all been pulled out. Anyway, the clerk offers to call JFK's father for him, and JFK gives him the number, and the clerk's like, what kind of number is that? Is that international? And then about this time, the guy, JFK, spots the magazine rack, and he's like, and he sees 2018 on there, and he's like, well, what year is it? And it's like, it's April 5th. What year? 2018. And of course, you know, mind blown, dude starts freaking out. He's like, what? What's going on? What happened? And about this time, he bumps into a trio of, I would guess, college age?
Yes.
Kids, somewhere in there?
College.
Who are on their way to Palo Alto, and basically they take a young JFK under their wing, load him into their cherry red BMW, and off they go.
Because, you know, it's JFK, so he gets smitten by a female.
Of course.
And a female smitten with him.
Yes, of course.
Because it's JFK.
Which, I don't blame him, she was cute, but I digress.
You digress.
I digress. So, Lucy, Wyatt, and Jessica go to the gas station to try and find JFK, and they start talking to the clerk, and the clerk's like, you know, yeah, no, I'm not going to help you, because originally JFK had said he had been kidnapped, he was in trouble, and that's what kind of led to everything and him getting away or going with the group, the trio. And so when they get in there, the guy's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to help you because, you know, he supposedly said he was in trouble. And they're like, oh, no, he's like insane and he's off his meds and we're just trying to get him home. And the clerk's like, oh, yeah, really? What meds? What's he on? He's not taking.
And the Wyatt and Lucy stood there and go,
and Jessica's like, I forget exactly what she said, but she basically produced a drug name. She's like, it's an antipsychotic. And the dude's like, oh, okay, all right, you know, he went with these three people, and they were driving this car, and they were headed to Palo Alto, and they're like, oh, okay. So they call that into Rufus and Gia and Connor, who are trying to track him through traffic cameras and other devices in an attempt to find this guy. And so we then cut to JFK, who's in the car, and they're talking, and he's like, you know, well, how do you guys all know each other? Because, you know, he's from 1934, and it's a white dude, an Asian lady, and then a black lady all in the car together. So for someone from 1934, that would be very unusual.
To say the least.
Especially for someone like him, who is from the upper crust, that never happened kind of thing. So they're like, yeah, we all know each other from school. And he's like, you all go to the same school together? And they're like, yeah? Because of course they don't know who he is or where he's from or anything like that. And they're like, your school isn't like that. And he's like, no, my school is very white. And they're like, oh, private school?
Yeah, it's private school.
It's like, that was a really great scene. It's so awkward, but it was great. So they're all talking, and about this point, JFK starts to have stomach pains, which he had chronic health issues, and that come to light through this episode, and so they end up taking him to a hospital. And about this time, as Lucy, Wyatt, and Jessica are trying to track JFK, the tip gets called in that basically, well, they were headed this way on this street, and the only things up there are like a bar, gas station, and I think a hospital is what they said.
I believe so.
So Jessica's like, well, you know, a bar would be right up JFK's alley, and Lucy's like, no, it's the hospital. It's got to be the hospital.
Because of his undisclosed chronic health issues that no one really talked about.
Yeah, that nobody really talked about. So they end up going to the hospital. Cutting over to Rittenhouse, because by this point, Emma, aka Evil Redhead Chick, is back from the 1930s, and she's like, yeah, so things did not go according to plan. We did not get JFK. And, oh yeah, by the way, we think he's here in the present. And everybody's like, what? And Evil Leader Dude is like, well, did Lucy get involved? And she's like, no, Lucy wasn't there. To which Lucy's mother looked a little relieved. But they're like, and then Lucy's mother chimes in, you know, because they're going, well, how do we find him? And it's, well, he's got to be, you know, I would check the hospitals because he had chronic health issues. So there it is again. So I'm sure if we look at all the local hospitals, eventually he will turn up. And sure enough, they find him, because when Lucy, Wyatt, and Jessica all arrive at the hospital where JFK is, Emma's already there, and she's on the way to take him out.
Luckily for our JFK, he is not in the hospital at this point.
No, he's basically told his friends, more specifically the Asian lady, that, hey, look, this is going to sound really, really crazy. And she's like, beyond, you know, being kidnapped. He's like, yeah, kind of. And he basically admits to who he is and where he's from and, you know, that there's a time machine and all this other stuff. And she's like, okay, yeah, you're insane, but we're going to keep you with us anyway because my mom can maybe help you. Because he realizes that the only way he's going to get home is if he gets back to the time machine.
Mm-hmm.
Because he goes, well, what if it's the only one in existence? And nobody knows about it. Except for the people that brought me here. So they head on to Palo Alto because basically he's all better. He's marveled at medicine and how easily the treatment worked and how quickly the treatment worked. So they head out after he's checked out of the hospital. Emma goes into the room to kill JFK, and Wyatt breaks into the room, and a fight breaks out between the two because JFK is not there. So they start fighting each other. Lucy and Jessica get in the room, and Emma gets a hold of Lucy, essentially, and holds a knife to her throat. And she's looking at Wyatt going, do it, shoot her, do it. And Wyatt won't do it because, you know, that's the other girl that he's in love with. Or that's the girl he's really in love with. So Emma eventually gets away, and Wyatt checks on Lucy, and Lucy's like, just go after her, just go get her. And Jessica sees this whole thing play out. And Jessica, being the smart bunny that she is, realizes what's going on, and understands that Wyatt and Lucy are in love with each other.
Yep.
Which leads to Wyatt getting arrested because of the fight, and Lucy hands him a paperclip to get out, and while they're waiting for him to escape, they're out front, and Lucy and Jessica have the heart-to-heart where Jessica's getting ready to leave, and she's like, you know, I know he's a different person in your timeline, and I'm sure he's changed, but he hasn't changed in mine, and he wasn't faithful to me in mine. But she's really trying to be understanding that in his timeline, she was dead. So, of course, he moved on with someone else. But she's just having a very difficult time with that, and she's getting ready to leave. And Lucy's like, no, 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 wait, you don't understand. You don't understand everything he's done to get back to you. And she's like, well, basically tell me. And that's where Lucy's like, you were never far from his thoughts. He always talked about you. He stole the time machine to go back and catch your killer, to stop you from dying. You know, he sent you a telegram from the 1950s. And she's like, Back to the Future. And she's like, yes, exactly like Back to the Future. You know, he's done all these different things to try and get you back. And now that he finally has you back, you should give him a chance. Because Jessica's ready to do the noble thing and just walk away and let Lucy and Wyatt be together. And of course, Lucy's like, no, 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 we're not doing that. Not a thing. Not going to happen. So basically, she convinces Jessica to stay with Wyatt. And the two kind of, like, painfully bond over that. Because that just about kills Lucy to do it. But being the good friend, that's what she does.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So they proceed. So about this time, Wyatt pulls up with the car. Jessica's like, are you freaking kidding me? And Lucy's like, yeah, we've been doing this for a minute.
We've been here, done this, bought the t-shirt. We got this.
We got this. You don't understand. So they pull away in chase because, you know, basically they're told that the kids were headed to a party in Palo Alto. So Agent Christopher is then driving around looking for JFK. And, well, Lucy's mama gets a hold of her. There's a lot of heart-to-hearts in quotations in this episode. Because at this point, evil Rittenhouse dude has put out the death warrant on Lucy where he tells Emma, if you see her, you kill her. End of discussion. Or she gets involved, you kill her. I don't want to deal with this anymore. So Lucy's mom goes to Agent Christopher in a desperate plea to protect her daughter, where she basically tells Agent Christopher, stop sending her back in time. Just stop it, okay? To which Agent Christopher's like, dude, I can't do that. Your daughter's not going to accept that. And if you think she will, then you don't know her at all. And of course, then the threat is made that if Agent Christopher doesn't stop her, then, well, Agent Christopher is going to end up killed. And she's like, okay, because, you know, Agent Christopher's a BAMF. So they beat her up a little bit, sadly, and then drop her off out in front of her house as a nice little threat, because originally they thought they were actually going to kill her because she refuses. And the last thing we see Lucy's mother do is she looks at the big, strong, scary dude, and she's like, yeah, do it. I'm like, they're not going to kill Agent Christopher. They can't do that. But no, they only they only roughed her up a little bit, which was equally as bad. It's really not nice.
No, it wasn't.
Really not nice. And they leave her passed out in her car in front of her house, which is like, come on. But one thing they realize is that Agent Christopher has a tracking chip in her, which if it's accessed, they can access her location. And because enough time has passed, Agent Christopher's like, yeah, somebody's going to be here any minute to save me. Y'all are kind of screwed. And then we see Agent Christopher's daughter come out and she's like, Mom, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
Go back inside. Got this.
Yeah, go back inside. So it kind of makes Agent Christopher reassess her priorities a little bit.
Just a little bit. A
little bit.
So then we go to Palo Alto. We're at the party. JFK is like really confused. He doesn't know what's up. And this is where everything kind of goes off the rails for him because he and the Asian chick who I never got her name. I don't know if they ever said her name. Like, I feel bad just calling her the Asian chick, but
I don't think they ever gave her a name, or if they did, they mentioned it once and it was nothing that's stood out.
Yeah, I don't remember her name, so I'm so sorry. But yeah, so they're at the party and basically she's told her friends what's up and they're like, yeah, sure, he's really President John F. Kennedy. Sure, dude is crazy. And this is where we find out that her mother is a shrink, and so she's like, well, my mom will be back tomorrow, so she can maybe help him. And that's why they brought him along. So anyway, so she takes him to her bedroom, and he's like, oh, have you read all these books? And she's like, well, I've read most of them. I love to read, and that's what they kind of bond over. And then she pulls out her iPad and looks up a picture of a young John F. Kennedy, and she's like, oh my God, you really look like him. And she's like, and he's like, who? And she's like, JFK. And she shows him the picture, and he's like, where did you get that? What is this? She's like, it's an iPad. You really don't know? He's like, no, I've never seen it before. Because again, he's from 1934. And this is where everything just kind of hits the fan because he essentially Wikipedias himself.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. They went through Wikipedia.
And he Wikipedias his whole family, and they bring up the Kennedy curse and how all his siblings die young and how he dies young. So he finds out about his own assassination. He finds out about his brother and his sister dying. He finds out about Bobby's assassination. Like, all this stuff he finds out. And he's just kind of like, holy crap! And he can't handle it, and he starts drinking because he can't handle it. And about this time, Jessica Wyatt and Lucy have rolled up because they told Rufus and Gia to check social media. And sure enough, JFK turns up on social media. How about that? On the IG.
How about that? At Rock Radio Show.
At Rock Radio Show, by the way.
By the way, Kayla.
Kayla. Okay, yay. Kayla, we have a name for her. So Kayla's trying to help him. She's trying to sit through it. They're in her room together talking. She's trying to get the bottle away from him. He doesn't want to give it up. And she shows him the silver dollar with him, or silver half dollar with him on it. And she's like, you know, that's pretty cool. And he's like, yeah, no, it was always supposed to be my brother, my older brother, who dies in World War II.
Which he learns and reads about.
Which he learns and reads about. And that's kind of what spurred him to check and see what happens to all his other siblings. And that's when she's like, it's the Kennedy curse. So about this time, Wyatt busts in and he's like, okay, we lied to you. We're sorry we lied to you. We're ready to take you home, kind of thing. And JFK is like, yeah, no. And he like basically pushes his way past Wyatt into the party, which Emma has also found. And Emma is lying in wait for him. And as he's running out the door, we focus in on the silver half dollar and it changes Kennedy's face to Nixon's.
Dum dum dum.
Which plays back to earlier in the episode when Evil Rittenhouse dude is talking and he's like, you know, well, we need somebody like Nixon in office so we can control it. So the whole plan is to get Nixon elected. Which I'm kind of sitting there and I'm like, out of all the presidents you picked, Nixon? Really? He wasn't that good. Maybe that was the point.
They can make him better.
They can make him better. They'll make him stronger. They have the technology. So anyway, so Emma takes a shot at JFK, which of course breaks up the party because gunfire would. She and Wyatt have a bit of a shootout with each other, and she gets away from them. And JFK's like, you know, basically, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to go back. I've had enough kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So they all go back. They take JFK back, and Rufus looks at him, and you know, JFK is kind of still having the existential crisis as they're getting back on the time machine. And he's like, was I a good president? And they're like, you were one of the best presidents we ever had. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And then Rufus looks at him and is like, by the way, don't go to Dallas on this date in 1961.
I don't remember the date, but yes.
Yeah, but basically tells him, do not go to Dallas on this date, which kind of plays into a conversation that Gia and Rufus were having about God and a higher power and everything else, where she's like, well, what if the visions and the heart murmur and everything are proof that there is a God, essentially? And Rufus is like, no, it's not proof. There is no God. There is no, you know, predetermined anything. it's what life is what you make it. And by this point, Connor has overheard this conversation. And he's like, wait, what? What visions? You're having visions? What?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they're like, not now. So Rufus tells JFK, don't go to Dallas on this date. So they take him back. They bring back Garcia, who is supremely pissed.
I mean, he's been left in a time period for how long now?
It's got to be at least a couple days. I'm not sure what the time frame is to back in time versus our time period, like what that, how days equal out between the two. But he's been left there long enough that he's been able to take care of all three sleeper agents on his own, by himself. And the tone in his voice is like, F you and the time machine you rode in on. I need a beer. Because Agent Christopher looks at him and she's like, well, did you take care of it? And he's like, yes. Yes, I did. I did it. All by myself. Because you people left me there. Just saying. And he's not happy about it.
I didn't sign up for this.
I was not okay with this. You guys need to put more seats in the time machine. And they're like, we're working on that. We're trying to figure that out. He's like, well, do it faster.
Get that done.
So when they come, you know, so Rufus gets off the time machine. He's like, well, you know, did we fix it? Did we save JFK? And they're like, no, he was killed 2 years into his presidency like he was originally in time. And he's like, well, I told him not to go to Dallas. And they're like, he didn't go to Dallas. He went to Austin. And Gia just kind of looks at Rufus and she's like, well, maybe it was just meant to be. Going back to their earlier conversation of maybe some things really are just predetermined and fate is fate.
Which is now, you know, twice about the premonitions, because it was the week prior where he didn't want to shoot the person and he didn't, but the dude still ended up dead.
Yep, and that comes up in this episode where she's like, well, maybe it's just all proof that there is a higher power, there's some kind of higher power, there's some kind something else coming into play in this that we're not taking into account. And Rufus, of course, dismisses it. And then this kind of gives him pause for a second because it's like, well, what if that's right? Because this is more proof that it's right.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Lucy and Wyatt awkwardness one more time, which there were several awkward encounters through this whole episode. But Lucy and Wyatt run into each other at the kind of the tail end where she's coming out of the bathroom and he's going in. And he's like, I want to thank you that, you know, basically I got back together with Jessica. You pretty much saved my marriage kind of thing. So thumbs up on that. And, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, totally sorry that we slept together one time. And that's kind of it. And she's like, yeah, no, it's totally cool. It's completely, utterly cool. Not really. Like, she's totally not okay with it. But she's like, yeah, no, it's awesome. Thanks. We're going to go this way now. So they kind of do a corny little exchange with each other, and then she walks off. And who comes out from skulking around the corner but Garcia Flynn? He kind of watches her go, and then later she's sitting in the lounge area watching an old movie. And Garcia comes in, he gets two beers, pops them open, and they sit on the couch together, and no words are exchanged. But all I'm going to say is, my ship, my ship, my ship. He's like, hey, what's up? You want to cuddle?
He did not say those words.
But it was implied!
Again, none of this was said. All it was one beer handed to another person, and they sat and watched the movie. It was not a cuddle. They just sat on the sofa.
As cuddly as he gets.
They sat on the sofa. All the things she isn't telling you are implied thoughts in her head that she's totally making up. So don't believe it's a ship until it's actually a ship.
They're going to cuddle, y'all. I can feel it.
I can
feel it. Because if you've been watching from the first season, you know Garcia got that notebook somehow. What if this is how, the start of it, that he gets that notebook and, you know, maybe they were together and that's how he gets it. Just a thought. Just a thought. Anyway, my ship. My ship's going to happen. Very excited. Very, very, very excited by this. But this was a really, really good episode. I really enjoyed this tremendously. Because instead of them going back in time and them trying to save history, it's, oh, hey, we brought history with us this time, and everything's going to go to hell.
Yeah, I found that really cool.
That was nice. That was a really nice change of pace. And I kind of like how they're having Lucy's mom be like, well, I can't protect her anymore. And so she goes to Agent Christopher, but she's still playing along with the Rittenhouse. And we get some really cool backstory on that, where basically her mother had known she was Rittenhouse from the age of 15. And she really felt like it was a burden on her. So when she got pregnant with Lucy, she had made the decision to give her up, to basically free her from this Rittenhouse legacy. Well, of course, her family wouldn't let her do that. And by the time Lucy was born, her mother wanted to keep her anyway. But the reason why Lucy was never told about Rittenhouse was because her mother did not want her to have that burden growing up. So it's her mother basically trying to say, oh, well, I did everything I did to protect her, but it's almost like too little, too late kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there were a lot of interesting twists and turns in this that are, I feel like, setting up the rest of the season.
We're halfway through?
We're halfway through. So I'm just going to start this plea now. NBC, please continue Timeless. I need a season 3. I know we're only halfway through this one, but I need a season 3. Just saying. And so does he, right?
Yes. I'm just here for the ride.
You're just here for the ride. Okay.
I'm just a passenger on this ship.
The good ship, Timeless.
There you go.
So, all right. Well, that does it for us on episode 5 of Timeless. Stay tuned, because next week we will be back with episode 6, so you don't want to miss that. But Farrakh, plugs.
Rack Radio Show on your favorite social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, rackradioshow.com to catch old episodes of the Rack Extra Timeless. If this is the first time you're ever listening to it, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, The Royals, and check out our other show, The Rack, heard live every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And you can follow me on social media at Linsward, LNSWRD, and you can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. I do artwork. If you want to see it, it's at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra Reviews Timeless Edition, and like I said, we will be back next week with episode 6. Till then, bye!